Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby.
How does someone go from being an engineer to becoming one of the most influential, successful business coaches in the history of business coaching? And that's what we're going to be talking about today in the Speak and Get What You Want podcast with our good friend, John Felkins. John, great to be with you today.
Oh man, great to be with you, Chad. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to get to spend some time with you. And we've been friends for a long, long time, but this is something we've never done before. So just, it's awesome to get to hang out with you.
Well, it is. And you know, it's interesting, John, your path is such a unique one. Our paths crossed years ago in the entree leadership world, where you were coaching entrepreneurs with Dave Ramsey's team. And obviously I know how Dave feels about you and the way he talks about you, but why don't you talk a little bit about, just for a moment, so that everyone becomes familiar with you. You didn't set out to help entrepreneurs become great business leaders. You set out to be an engineer. And what's crazy about that, John, is engineers don't typically want to associate with other people, want to talk to other people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they want to go and do what they have to do and are good at it.
Yeah.
But what took you from being an engineer to now one of the great leaders at Entree Leadership with Dave Ramsey?
Well, it is kind of a crazy story, Chad. And I'll say it really started when I got into engineering and why I got into engineering. And the fact of the matter is I worked in construction as a laborer, so I'm out digging ditches, building houses in the sun and the heat. And a friend of mine came by one day and said, you ought to go to school and get a degree in engineering so you can still build houses, but you're not going to be standing in a ditch. And I totally ignored him, as is my habit. And then he came back on a day when it was just pouring rain. And I looked at him and I said, what kind of degree did you say I should get? And he said, engineering. So that got me curious. I went and found out about it. And here's the real reason I got into engineering, Chad, is because I had people in my life say I wasn't smart enough to do it.
Interesting.
So I took 7 years of my life and got a 4-year degree in engineering.
I absolutely love that people said you couldn't do it.
That's right.
And you were determined to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
Now that works really well, actually, in the business coaching world, especially as you're working with entrepreneurs, because so many business leaders and entrepreneurs have been told they can't accomplish what they're actually accomplishing.
That's right. I crossed paths with a man, Ken Utech, and we took a personality assessment. He was doing team building for a leadership team that I was on. And he looked at my assessment results. And then he looked over his glasses at me like this. And he said, John, what do you do? I said, I'm an engineer. And he looked at my results and he said, no, you're not. And then I argued with him, honestly, for 3 days straight. And finally, he said this line that I must have shared with you back in the day. He said, look, I'm telling you, you've done what you've done in spite of how you're wired, not because of how you're wired.
Interesting.
And Chad, that was like the clouds parted and the sun rays came down and the white doves, you know, flew. And I was like, dad gum, he's right. I have just been beating my head against the wall. I've been going against the grain. And it was really, you know, I haven't had a lot of those, but it was a moment in my life that opened me up to a new path.
You know what's interesting about that, John, is you say you've done what you've done in spite of who you are, not because of who you are. And I wonder how many people listening today have ever found themselves or are currently in that position where they're just like, okay, I've paid a price, I'm here, but I guess I just have to stay here. I mean, John, you took 7 years to become an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so tempting to just say, okay, it is what it is. I'm just going to stay down that path. So where did you muster the courage to say, okay, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, it was scary. Let's be honest about that. Courage is doing it when you're scared, right? And so I was scared when it started to unfold, but I got so excited about the vision of the future of what it could be, what would life look like if I was doing something because of how I was wired. I mean, that was a very, very seductive idea. And I wanted to step into that and explore that. And every little baby step that I took proved true that it came a lot easier to me. It was a lot more fun. It was a lot more exciting. Now, when I made the step and closed up my business as an engineer and went into coaching, and that was a scary day. That's when it got real. And I had to go out, you know, on my own doing something that I didn't have the schooling for initially. That was when it got scary, but it's been worth it.
You know, it's interesting how you say, you say, I didn't have the schooling for it, but maybe not the formalized schooling, but you had the education to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to go become an engineer because people say I'm not smart enough, right? You're going to go and do. And so many people have limiting beliefs thinking that I don't have the schooling, I don't have the experience. So, John, you said you just did it and it was a scary day, but how did you overcome that fear? How did you say, okay, I am going to do this?
I think how I came over the fear, I'm reflecting in real time on this, Chad, is because I feared living a life where all that my meaning came from was just the paycheck and just going and doing the thing and turning the crank and showing up again. You know, I believe that there's some middle ground, right? I don't think we have to go find our passion and you know, all the snowflakes have to align and life is perfect and a party every day. You and I have both worked long enough to know, right? That that's not the case.
Right. Right.
So I love your question, but it's that, hey, find something that you can get excited about. Find something that you can be good at, that's a good match for your talents and your personality, and then get passionate about that. But I was just scared of the flip side of that coin of like, I wasn't passionate about engineering. I had done it to prove to people that I was smart enough to do it. And I didn't want to cash in for a 40-year career of doing something that for just a paycheck. I wanted to find something that I felt like I could blossom in, that I could, that's a very weird way for me to say it, Chad, but like that I could come alive to, that could be,
right,
you know, I could bring my whole self to.
You know, it's interesting, John. It's amazing to me as I work with business owners, business leaders, how many of them are really unclear on what their future looks like, mm-hmm, or what they want their future to look like. So they just go through the motions of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that very fear of just going through the motions of life that actually drove you to take risk. And yeah, so you took that risk. But once you made that leap and once you took that jump, and here you are in Entree Leadership and you're working with Dave and Dave's looking to you and turning to you. And I've seen it. I've seen Dave turn to you and be like, John, what do you think here? How did you overcome some of the self-doubt you may have had in that moment? You know, how do you overcome that?
It's the idea around what we like to call 10-pound weights. And what I mean by that, Chad, is it's baby steps. It's just one, you know, try a little something, you build some confidence. Oh, I can do that. And then a little something more and a little something more and a little something more. And then you look up one day and you're like, you're sitting on a panel in front of 1,000 people with Dave. And he just, you know, hey, I have a question from Dave from the audience. Dave sits there. He's listening very intently. And then he goes, what do you think, John? What was the question? What did I ask? You know, if I had showed up as day one and that's what happened, it would have crushed me.
Right.
But that progressive realization of some competence around small things and walking into that and exercising with those little 10-pound weights really helped build the confidence to be able to do stuff that before would have scared me. And that is what I suggest leaders do when they're delegating or they're working with their team. You know, when we're working with folks in coaching, we're saying, hey, don't just throw everything over to your team members right off the bat. Show them what to do. Give them a little bit, a little more. It's the principle of the, you know, giving out a little bit of rope.
I love that. I love that principle of 10 pound weights. I mean, that's a great principle. I've never heard that from you before, but that's real. I mean, because if you do think about that for a moment and you go back to the experience you just shared where they're asking Dave Ramsey the question and you're like, and Dave goes, hey, John, go ahead, share with these thousands of people what your thoughts are on that. You know, if that would have been your first day or two, you certainly would have been overwhelmed, but, yep. And it's still probably got your blood flowing when he did it, yep. You know, at that moment, but those 10 pound weights really got you to where you need to be. Now, let me ask you, mm-hmm. Has your 7 years of experience as an engineer, has that helped shape your thinking as a coach and a leader?
Yeah, absolutely, Chad. And this is one of the things I'm most excited about. And I actually shared with you beforehand where that really led us. And that was we engaged in a series of conversations with Dave. Man, it took us a couple years where we started to ask him and interview him about how he did what he did. How did you build this business? What did it look like? What were the milestones along the way? And really that kind of systems thinking and that engineering background helped us take a winding, you know, journey that he took, that entrepreneurial creative idea, and put it into a system. And now here in February, folks are going to see Build a Business You Love, Mastering the 5 Stages of Business. Dave's next book on business is really the result of applying system thinking and some critical, you know, some engineering type thinking to what he did and got that out of him. And he is coming out with a new book that is a result of that kind of thinking and those kind of conversations with him over the years. And I'm stoked about it.
Yeah. I love the title. You shared the book with me before. And I love the title, Build a Business You Love.
Yep.
Because John, it's interesting. We've had these conversations with, we both have with different business leaders, entrepreneurs who actually hate their business. I mean, I remember receiving a phone call from an entrepreneur business leader who was soliciting my help. And he goes, Chad, I've got this great business. We just hate the people we work with.
That's
what he said. He just goes, I said, you excuse me? And he goes, we hate our customers. They're just terrible. And I'm like, oh, that's a little bit of a problem, right? And when I dug in, John, and I'm just connecting the dots now, but when I dug in, they really had no systems or processes, mm-hmm. right? They didn't have a system for their business. And it's amazing when we heard Patrick Lencioni, he taught this to us a few years ago when he talked about running his home. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, if he turned to his wife and he's like, if I ran our home like we run our, or if we ran our business like we ran our home, we'd be bankrupt, right? And he said, and then he joked about his wife maybe tossing something at him, but the point, John, the point was he was making was sometimes we build a business that we to build a business we love, but also to build a life we love.
Yeah,
you know. And you alluded to that when you talked about you didn't want to just go through the motions of life.
Right.
You wanted to create a system in life that really gave you the love and passion in life that you were looking for.
Yep. Yep. And you know, that's really founded the bedrock of all of that for me, Chad, is getting clear on your purpose. And I know I know you, I've known you for a long time. You are fired up about what you're doing. You're clear about your purpose. You're clear about where you're headed. And that makes it makes such a big difference. And when you can get clear on that, I think it's rocket fuel. And we all have our different way of approaching that, but helping small business owners and being of maximum service to that person that is running the business, that has a team that's relying on them to serve their customers and their community, that is my rocket fuel. And that is the thing that is so clear to me, is how can we be of most service to the person that's in that seat, whether they're a doctor, a lawyer, like the folks that you work with, or, you know, a plumber, or they're fixing computers. It doesn't matter. That person probably didn't go to business school, probably kind of doesn't know how to lead a team. They know how to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a plumber, but we're here to help them lead that team and be successful with their business. And to this day, I mean, I've been at it 15 years. To this day, I get fired up every time I see that spark in their eyes.
Right?
Yep.
Right? And they realize, and I think it comes back to this, John, is just really having impact. And I think most people are living well below the impact they could have on their friends, family, community, work, everything. And so really understanding who you are and how you can impact other people.
Yeah.
And John, that's one thing. I mean, like you said, you and I've had, we've known each other for many years and have had great conversations, but one thing that you're always looking to do is have impact. And so when you have been in moments of discouragement and have thought to yourself, man, I'm actually having no impact whatsoever. What are some of the things that you do personally? Because by the way, this is a journey that happens all the time. I promise you, John, there are moments where even now where you're standing in front of a group of people and you're like, man, I just crushed this. Life is good. And then you say something and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm a complete failure, right? We have those moments.
Yeah.
So are there certain things that you do that help you get through some of those difficult moments?
I think it's as simple as and hard as just showing back up. Because what people don't do when they have those moments is show back up. A lot of times they get discouraged and stay discouraged and they don't step back up to the plate and take another swing at it. And that's the only failure. That's the only time that you really fail. And I know this isn't exactly what you're asking me, Chad, but I think you'll get this. If you can use that failure, if as a leader, you can turn around and be vulnerable about that and what your experience was like and the fact that you did strike out or that it didn't go the way you wanted and you're transparent with your team or the people that you're working with, it becomes a very powerful thing. And actually you can use those wounds. You can make good use of your mistakes, and it helps normalize it for other people, and it helps inspire other people that we don't have to all pretend like we have it together all the time, because I don't, you know, and I think people struggle to be vulnerable about their mistakes. And so I take encouragement when I screw up, because I know I'm human. And
right.
I just got to show back up, be honest with people about I screwed that up or it didn't go the way I wanted. Here's what I'm learning from it, and keep moving. And that's actually very magnetic and inspiring to people. So I'm not looking to make mistakes, you know, to answer your question directly. I'm not trying to make mistakes, but when I do, you know, life is a lot more interesting when you can make friends with your mistakes instead of making friends with perfection, because it's a lot more fun and exciting adventure that way.
And you know what's interesting is that what you just taught there, I hope everyone heard listened very closely and heard that message, because the reality is vulnerability can really empower you to being a tremendous leader. You know, you and I have heard Dave say this a million times. He's got a PhD in DUMB, right? Like he shows that level of vulnerability that attracts people to you. And John, you're the exact same way. You'll be like, oh man, I made this epic mistake here. The fact that you said it took me 7 years to get my 4-year degree, right? That level of vulnerability in your communication is empowering, because you become relatable,
yeah.
Right? Like if you get on here, John, and you're saying, yeah, I got my engineering degree. It takes most people 4. I did it in 1.5 years. And then I did, you know, and you go through right. that, people are like, I can't relate to that.
Right.
I can't relate to that. And so being more vulnerable, it's hard, because people don't want to show any weakness, right. Especially people that are leading, John, they don't want to be vulnerable at all.
Right. Right.
So how do you coach a leader who's lost his team, a person who's lost their team because they refuse to show any level of vulnerability?
You know, a lot of times I just ask them, do you really think they don't all see it? Do you really think that they're unaware? And when a person will stop for just a second and take a deep breath, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, I know they know. I know they see it. And then we'll ask them, like, then what are we doing here? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know? And just to get a person to acknowledge that and hold the mirror up, that can be so helpful. Because the truth is, while what you're saying is right, not being vulnerable really is a huge disconnect for the team. When you have that leader to team relationship, so frequently the message that you're sending is, I've got it all together, or I'm acting like I've got it all together. And so I am not open to you telling me that I don't have it all together. And so the team is going to just tell you what you want to hear. And effectively what you've done is built an echo chamber. So all you're ever going to hear is what you want to hear. And the team's not going to tell you that. So a lot of times there's nobody in that person's life that will always say, hey, do you really think this is working? You know, do you think they don't know that you're, you know, screwing up left and right? That's why a coach is valuable, because a lot of times they're the only one in a leader's life that will do that.
Oh, exactly. And I think you remember a few years ago when Dave shares a story where he made a comment at a meeting and someone on the team chased him out into the parking lot and was like, hey, Dave, yeah, we don't make those comments, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And Dave was like, wait a second. I mean, that's pretty cool that I've created this culture where someone feels like they can come up to me and address some of those issues.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But when you pretend to always have it together, well, by the way, what it also does, John, is then it sends a message to the team that they all have to pretend they have it together.
Right.
And so if somebody needs help, they don't ever feel like they can go ask for help because everyone's pretending to have it together.
That's right. It's just a blueprint for the doom loop. You're just going to...
And then there's no opportunity to truly grow,
right?
Because no one's being vulnerable. So how do you, you tell the person to look up in the mirror and you coach them along the way, but then we got to make sure vulnerability. I always say vulnerability is a lot like salt, you know, there just needs to be the right amount.
Yes.
Right. You don't want to overshare, but you want to share just enough. Yeah. Does that come just from practice?
I frequently ask the question, what's the difference between transparency and vulnerability? And I make that differentiation because transparency frequently is you telling something to your team or to another person that didn't go the way you wanted, but in a way where you can still control the narrative of the conversation. So, you know, I was late to work today, but it was because of X, Y, and Z, and I still look like the good guy, right?
Right.
That's being transparent. That can be defined as being transparent. Being vulnerable is telling something about yourself that really opens you up for, oh, you didn't handle that well. Like, I'm not trying to control the narrative. I'm just being honest with you about a shortcoming. And, well, frankly, I see people overdo transparency because it's a way that they can make themselves feel good and feel like they're being open and sharing, but they do it in a way where they still look like the hero of the story. I don't frequently see people being overly vulnerable. I mean, sometimes maybe, but usually that's hard enough if you're really being truly vulnerable that you're not going to overshare those things with the team. And maybe as the check valve on that, is to say, hey, is this really about you and what you get out of sharing this? Or is it about the team? And if it's more about you and what you get out of it, that's probably a red flag to say, I need to be careful about what I'm sharing.
Oh, that is huge. That's a huge insight because it's easy to fall into that trap.
Right.
But making it, and we talk about this frequently, but making it all about the team, making it about others. And by the way, people can completely sense it.
Yes.
They can feel it and they know.
Yep.
They know. And so as you talked about, and you referenced this earlier, John, as you talk about the book that's coming out,
yep,
Build a Business That You Love. And when does that come out?
Pre-sale starts February 17th, and then it launches on tax day on April 15th.
Oh, that is fantastic. And then Entree Leadership.
Yes.
I think what's so important is you talk about building a business you love, building a life that you love, becoming a leader that you want to become, often takes having the tools and resources to get there. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot we know we don't know, but then there's that whole world of what we don't know, right? And that's what's so powerful about that Entree Leadership community.
Yep.
So I strongly encourage everyone that's listening, get the book. But just, John, just real quickly as we wrap up, Entree Leadership. Why? And first of all, you often laugh about it. It is a made up word.
It is a made up word.
Except in Tennessee. Leadership.
That's right. Except for in Tennessee.
In the Tennessee dictionary, it's there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But Entree Leadership, mm-hmm. they can go to entreeleadership.com.
That's right.
And check out what tools and resources are there, mm-hmm. so that you can execute on the things that you're talking about.
That's right. And it's two bodies of work, let's call it, Chad. One is the principles that Dave used to build his business, which, by the way, he discovered and unearthed through making mistakes. And right. That's our whole, it's a $300 million a year of business built on the fact that Dave Ramsey screwed up how to use money, shares that with everybody, and then explains how he got out of it and how to avoid it. I mean, vulnerability is like the foundation of this whole thing, right? And then the same with Entree Leadership. Entree Leadership is still the same company, is still the same group of people. It's just the best practices, the principles that Dave's company used, because people started to ask the question, okay, we understand what you think about money, Dave, but it's a $300 million a year dollar, business. How do you run your business? How do you lead your business? Mm-hmm. And so he started to unpack that. The book Entree Leadership is the collection of principles that he used to do that. But then people say, and have said over the years, okay, I understand your principles. I understand what's important about how to run a business, but I don't understand like the steps that you took. Like, how did you apply these principles? What did it look like to implement these principles? Build a business that you love is the answer to that question.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Entree Leadership, pre-order the book, build the business you love. John Felkins, it is always amazing spending time with you. I love your insights. I love what you share and appreciate you taking the time to be with us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Chad. It's been great. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Have a tremendous day, everyone. Bye now.